If you're ready for the apology heard around the world, you stepped in the right place. Get ready for The Real Housewives of New Jersey. Season 8, Episode 11 starts right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Get it? Hey.
Welcome. We're back. Hey. And we are feeling in the holiday spirit today, so we decided to give you guys a little bit of Mariah, Oh Santa. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Richie Sky. You guys can stalk me on Instagram and Twitter at DJ Richie Sky, and also catch me on Tuesday nights on Bravo on Stripped.
And I'm Russell Ray. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Russell Ray Silva.
Guess what, guys? It's time for the Fopology.
Yes.
I'm not sure why they call that this episode, but let's get to it. As you guys have noticed, our girl Tracy, she is not here with us. She is celebrating the holidays off somewhere on the East Coast, I think NYC. So you guys wish her a Merry Christmas. If you celebrate that or whatever. Getting right down to the episode, we start off with lunch. Melissa goes biking with Siggy and Danielle, and Teresa's going to go cook authentic food with Danielle. With Dolores
and Margaret.
Gotcha. I wrote that down wrong. Okay, so for me, I was really excited about this part of the episode because I like food and I like learning how people make food.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really, really excited to see how they actually made pasta because I get my pasta out of the box. And I know I'm not the only one. So that was exciting for me because I never knew that eggs went in pasta.
Really?
I did not. Who knows this?
Oh my gosh. Eggs.
It doesn't go in all pasta, to be fair. It goes in egg pasta.
See?
Egg goes in like half of the things that we eat, though.
I mean, but I'm not. I don't use a lot of eggs with my food.
Really?
No, I'm not. I don't even have eggs in my refrigerator. Actually, I do, but they're pre-boiled. But we'll talk about that another other day.
No.
It makes life so simple, I'm telling you. Because, you know, after you go work out, you have your boiled eggs, and you don't have to, like, cook them and break the shells and all this stuff. It's too much.
Yeah, but they're cold when you pull them out.
No, so you just put them in the microwave. But you can only put them in the microwave for about 20 seconds. Because otherwise, what happens is they explode.
I feel like you know from experience.
I know from quite a few experiences. This is what happens. So anyway, I'm fascinated by cooking shows.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I do like to cook, but I don't cook that often. Anyway,
really easy to make, by the way.
What?
Pasta.
Pasta?
That's not that
homemade?
Yeah.
Next week, guys, he's going to be making pasta right here on the show.
We're going to make stuffed lobster and Ooh. Cheese ravioli. I got you.
You be cooking? Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Find good. Out. I didn't know you could put, like, I didn't think it was a good idea to put these eggs in a bag. This is so random.
But that is like, random.
Like, why?
That was so emphasized, too. The bag was, like, crinkle, crinkle, I'm like, extra loud.
Is this what people do? Anyway, enough of that.
The ingredients is?
Yes, I did write that down. She's still pronouncing that word. Teresa tonight pronounced the word ingredients is wrong yet again. She's still at her old tricks. Don't change, Teresa. Don't change. But we also see them, you know, we see them like actually making the meal. So this was also the exciting thing for me because I like with the whole, like, they didn't use a bowl.
Yeah.
Which do you do that?
It depends on what kind of countertops you have. Like, you don't want to use tile countertops with flour and everything. But if you have a flat granite countertop, you can use it and it'll be fine.
Okay. Well, apparently you don't want to use cutting boards either if you are sexually frustrated. As we found out tonight, Teresa got to chopping a little bit too hard to make the... what kind of tartare was that? Beef tartare?
It was beef.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You never heard of steak tartare, Richie?
Steak tartare, yeah.
I've always thought of tartare being like tuna.
No, it's their steak tartare.
I'm like... so declassé. Like, it's just not even funny.
I'm going to teach you about all the ingredients. Don't worry about it.
It sounds like we need to do cooking with Richie because I don't know.
This could be fun. We could bring in Margaret and she can cook with us and explain the whole thing. Margaret, if you're watching, come
I don't
down
know.
Here.
She looks like she could cook either.
Well, I mean, it'd be fun. All of us would just... It'd that be a might disaster. Be
fun. Have a little cocktail. And meanwhile, on the other side of town, the other ladies, Siggy and Danielle, accompany Melissa for a nice little bike ride. This actually looked kind of fun. Then they stop for a picnic. And, you know, Siggy says something that I thought was interesting. She said that she felt like she couldn't get over Margaret's meanness. And I just thought to myself, like, shouldn't that be reversed?
I mean, I think it's technically, if that's how she feels, it's equal across the board, but it should stay equal. Like, she can't call the kettle black. You know what I mean? It's real. Like, she was mean, and if she felt that Margaret was mean, then she's entitled to fate the way that she feels, but you cannot disregard your actions.
Right.
You have to acknowledge them, and she's yet to acknowledge them.
Well, there goes that. I wrote down, and there she goes again. She's crying. you know, this is upsetting to her yet again. Danielle tries to reason with her in this part of the episode. You know, I feel like everyone is trying to reason with Siggy at all times. And I'm like, it's just never working. I think 90% of the season has been someone trying to reason with Siggy.
Yep.
If memory serves me correctly,
and the other,
it genuinely does.
The other, well, I'm not gonna say 90%, but like an equal to the 90% has been Siggy on Twitter, trying to verify everything that she said during each episode. So tonight was all about her and trigger words, and then she had her. I feel like it's a sidekick. It's some dude, and he was, you know, chiming in on how Margaret should know better than to say Hitler. And it's very hurtful to the community because Siggy's father is a Holocaust survivor.
You know, we're going to have a segment dedicated on the rest of the episodes to the Siggy report. Everything that she says on Twitter, we're going to comment on, because here's the thing about reality television. And I think, you know, specifically reality television. I think that when you are on a show like this, you can't really comment on every... I think it's good to live tweet. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think at a certain point you should try to validate or explain every little thing that you say, because I feel like for some people, it works them back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just getting worked up about it again, or that you are caring way too much about what people think.
Yeah, or people who aren't guilty don't explain themselves.
Now that... is a word. Like, I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel like, you know, I can't even say it any better than that. Never mind.
It's like the person that sits there, and this is like completely like out of left field, but it's like the person that sits there and like, you know, cheaters this and cheaters that, and I would, nope, they would be out of that. Well, look who the cheater is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's one of those situations.
Woo! I could talk about that all day.
Right? Like, you know, you don't think we know your real business?
Like, right. Okay. Like, I just don't get it. I just can't see myself doing it. Like, no, I can't see myself doing it.
Yeah. No, those who aren't guilty don't explain themselves.
And I feel like something else happens when you are actually living in the moment on a reality show. You're living in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't necessarily go back and try to justify everything that happened then, because that's how you felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I will say that if you're that sensitive, just own it. Like, you don't have to go back and try to make this other person seem really, really bad because you are really, really, really sensitive. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even get mean-spirited from Marge at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't feel that through the screen.
Not only that, but these are filmed how long ago? 4 to 6 months
yes,
ago?
Yes! Like, so let it go, Elsa!
You're still... you're still dwelling on this several months later. You have it pinned as your top tweet on your profile. And in addition to that, you're still letting this person's rudeness or energy or whatever you want to call it interrupt your daily life until this day.
Michael told you last week to cut the cancer out, and you need to, Jacqueline.
Ooh.
I just
I'm but taking not really. It back. I'm taking it
back. So we get to dinner, and you know, this is the lovely meal that Teresa and Margaret and Dolores have prepared for everybody the steak tartare, the egg noodles, and whatever else they had. You know, the dinner's awkward because Margaret doesn't want to address anything that has to do with Siggy. She actually looks like she's suffering from PTSD at this moment. Like, she just doesn't know what to say. Siggy doesn't want to talk to her. But Danielle does want to talk, and Danielle wants to talk sex.
Danielle is nasty. She's just so nasty. She's been nasty. Okay, this is back to everyone sitting at home. I watched episode one, season one, 2 days earlier, and Danielle has been nasty since season one. Like, she was talking about, the guy that she went on a date with, she found him on the internet, his name was Gucci Model, and they had phone sex before they even met up for a regular date, and then he bails on her, and then she leaves him voicemail. Danielle, you are nasty, nasty.
Speaking of phone sex, she says that she had that in this episode, too.
See, exactly my point, what I was talking about.
Just in case any of you were interested in her sex life.
Danielle, stop it.
There's that. I just have to say this on air, and I've said this on another AfterBuzz TV show. Watch them all. But anybody to me that talks about sex a lot, I just don't know that you're having it that much.
Ooh.
Like, I don't... You know, there's... Okay.
Those who are telling the truth don't have to explain themselves.
Oh, there you go again. That's the theme for the night. Here's the thing, like... You know, there are obviously moments where you might have a hushed conversation with, like, a group of your friends or something about, you know, about sex or whatever. But, I mean, I just don't know. Like, if I'm not in the sexual situation, if I was filming Jersey Shore or something like that, then maybe the sex talk would be a little bit more appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, however... I just can't think of a reason at this point in time, unless I was stark raving drunk, where I would be talking about sex all the time with my friends, because I don't do that now.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
That's like a phone conversation that you have with your friend, like when you're driving, like, oh my God, okay. You will not believe what happened last night, what we did, what we tried. That's like a bedroom candy conversation. Ooh, there's a plug.
Ooh. Well,
Candy's very sexual too. Just in case anybody who doesn't know,
Paige.
Candy is from The Real Housewives of Atlanta, but she's very sexual too. But she doesn't bring it up like Danielle does.
No, I just feel like when it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that I think I have the most issue with is the conversation is never about sex. It's always randomly dropped in like some sort of like bomb, and it's like, why were we even talking about this? Yeah. Like, what page are you on, girl? Because we're not on that subject. I could go on. Anyway, Melissa does finally notice that, you know, Marge is kind of like, not quiet. And so, you know, she takes her out to get some water in the most obvious way. Hey, guys, I'm going to go get some water. Marge, come with me. And it's like, really?
Do you want to get some water?
I think I would have been texting her like, girl, let's go get some water. Oh, I'm coming to get some water, too.
Yeah.
How about that? Much better. But anyway, they go outside and, you know, Marge says she'd rather fake her own death than have to actually sit there and talk to Siggy. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
You know, but interestingly enough, after their talk, you know, Margaret comes back and to me offers what I believe is probably one of the most sincere, like, apologies that I've seen on this show. And Siggy was completely unbothered. She literally,
I think she was pretty good,
sat stone cold, did not even look in Marge's direction. But luckily, which I thought was amazing, Danielle thanked her, Teresa thanked her, literally everybody else thanked her for doing that, while Siggy just sat there.
I think that in itself was in poor taste. I mean, coming from the horse's mouth, talking about things that are done in poor taste. That was done in poor taste. Because when someone acknowledges you and tries to do something out of the goodness of themselves in order to make you feel more comfortable and put you in a better place from where you were at with the conversation prior, it's important to acknowledge that person in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Not to just disregard it, because that's just, to me, that's a slap in the face.
If it's a slap in the face, it's rude as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think if anything, it just makes matters worse. It makes the dinner worse for everybody else. Mm-hmm. It just feels like, you know, like you just made the tension even that much worse. Like,
and she alienated herself.
And exactly. Even if you're not over it, the proper thing to do at that point is to say, listen, I hear your apology. I just am processing a lot right now.
Yeah.
Like, can we talk about this a little bit later?
Yeah.
Because then it at least alleviates, like, some of the pressure in the room, you know, so that everybody else can sort of have a good dinner. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just like, I'm not going to knock her occupation, but...
I don't think she studied psychology. I think she studied anthropology.
Ooh. Burn.
I'm just kidding.
Burn. Well, back in the United States at Teresa's house,
Joe the Toolman comes in.
Exactly.
Come through, Joe the Toolman, looking on buff and tight shirt, and he did that on purpose.
He know what he up to.
Yes, he does.
You know, I think it was Melania. I don't know. It's so many of them. Gets a little sassy with him. And, you know, he takes the kids into one of the living rooms and just decides to have a talk with them. And he essentially equates them to the devil with the way they treat Teresa. I was very excited about this. Much less excited by the fact that I felt like they blatantly disrespected him, too. But whatever.
It put me in a little flashback of my own nieces and nephews.
Really?
Yes, because I'm very close with my sister's kids because I've lived with each side.
Yeah.
So if one of them says like, "Go get it yourself," oh no, we're gonna have a conversation. I'm saying you get nothing right now. For
let me tell you something. If I had told a parent or a parental figure in my family something like that when I was younger, I would have just seen the hand approaching me, and then I would have found myself in another room. Just yanked. Like, I mean, who? Okay.
My mom would have jumped over like Madea.
Like, exactly. Like, you know, I sometimes I'm thinking maybe, like, I'm hoping that this is for the cameras and the kids are really not that bad. I really hope they're not like that on a day-to-day basis, because I feel like, despite the fact that, you know, her dad's there and she has family around her, she still has four girls and her husband is in prison. Mm-hmm. It's got to be tough. So it's like, you know, come on. Like, one of the girls needs to, like, become like a second mom, and that should be Gia. And maybe it is her, but they're gonna treat Teresa the way they see Gia treat Teresa to a certain degree.
Yep.
So I feel like she needs to step up and she needs to sort of get the other girls in line. That's what a big sister should do. That's what I feel.
Yes, unfortunately, that's what big sisters do.
See,
I have a big sister.
He knows. And there we have
I'm going to count to three. One. See, she used to record us with the camera. She used to be just right here. I'm going to count to three. One, two. Oh, I'm going to show this to mom.
See? It can be done, Gia.
I had to do it to her kids.
Whoop. There we go. I'm
counting to three. So that's what Gia needs to do. She can count to three.
Well, the joy of all of this is that they're going to throw Teresa a surprise party when she comes back for her birthday. So really excited about that. So...
That's
cute. It's the following day in Milan, and Marge is being served coffee in the bathtub. This was odd to me.
I looked at it, I was like, why is there a ceiling shot of a continental breakfast right next to that?
It was the oddest thing. Like, when you guys are on vacation, I don't know about you, but... Not to quote NeNe Leakes, but when I'm in the bathroom showering, the door is closed.
Yep.
Nobody's coming in. Somebody in the camera crew could have let her in to get that coffee. I don't understand. Like, that was just the oddest little shot right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Marge, do better.
I mean, if you were at a spa, it'd be something different.
If you were at a spa, it would be something different. But you in this bubble bath, it just seems so like...
Mariah Carey-esque.
Oh, in that case, I'm kind of here for it.
Like, I remember she did that on Cribs.
All she needs is some lighting now.
No overhead, because that doesn't compliment.
So Danielle is going to accompany Margaret for to go to the shoe factory. And she visits Siggy and Dolores to question them about, you know, what they thought about last night. And, Siggy tries to explain, you know, I don't know. Siggy's response was weird. It was very weird to me. She acted almost like she appreciated the apology the next morning, but then it was like, you didn't say a word.
Yeah.
It was very strange. So Danielle once again tries to counsel her, like, hey, don't you think it deserves some sort of response? Dolores is, of course, rolling her eyes so hard in the back of her head.
You gotta appreciate Dolores.
I can appreciate anybody on a show like this who keeps it 100.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, right, wrong, or indifferent, despite whatever we may think about her, I feel like Dolores keeps it gangster.
She does. I mean, I just don't like the fact that she gets in people's faces, but...
I don't either. I mean, it couldn't be
but
me,
I appreciate the fact that she's real with it.
She yeah, said, I do. I do like
battles,
that about her.
I let my people fight their own battles, but until she
no, you don't.
Defends the 10th degree. But
I feel like Dolores is tired of fighting right now. I really do. I feel like based on her responses, she's just like, I can't. So as they head off to the shoe factory, we discover that Danielle has had late night phone sex with Marty.
Here you go, Danielle, again. That's what got you in the first predicament the first 19 times.
Well, I mean, maybe phone sex is the new way. I don't know.
First of all, wait a minute. Let's fast forward this. Hold on. Or rewind this. Phone sex is like 1990s. where you're paying, what was it, like a dollar or a dollar 17? That's back when Miss Cleo was kicking in on television. No. Phone sex is like completely out the door. Like... Jesus Christ, Danielle, get it together.
It's like, why? I don't get it. It's just too much. You got to hold the phone. Uh-uh, no.
Good thing there's your pods.
But you still, okay. Is it FaceTime or was it just the phone?
I think it was just the phone,
Because if it's FaceTime, then that's kind of like virtual.
And that could be interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I've never tried it.
The people watching.
Never have I ever.
The people watching know.
Well, then there's like sexting too, right?
Exactly. There is sexting. There's so many ways that you can get it on via phone.
Yes.
We're Skype. Not just limited to voice calls these days.
Right? Like, Danielle, what are you doing? No wonder Gucci Mane didn't show up because you didn't give him no FaceTime. Jesus.
Oh, Danielle. Come on the show so we can teach you some things.
teach how we do it in Hollywood.
Marge is checking the production process for these shoes. Discovers that it takes about 3 hours for one shoe to be made. I mean, I really know nothing about this, just like I know about pasta. But
I love how she was talking about how Danielle brought a pair of Manolos. And I love how there was a shot of Danielle's bunion.
You know, those cameras... They are relentless.
They add 5 inches to the bunion. Jesus.
Margaret is slick. Let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
When she was standing close to the guy and the guy said her that his boyfriend or husband or whatever he was is going to get jealous, she asked, oh, can I turn you? I was like, you are...
She's quick.
That's a quick bitch right there.
She is.
I like it. Okay, now we get to Teresa and Siggy, and they are essentially, I don't know what they're doing.
In front of Jesus.
They're about to go pray to the gods because, you know, during the beginning of the season, Siggy was really upset because she didn't get to go and have the memorial with the rest of the ladies after Teresa's mom passed.
Okay.
So this was a nice little way for Teresa to sort of bring that back around and for them to share this moment together. I thought that was nice.
That was a nice gesture on Teresa's part, but going back to Siggy, that was another point in time where she isolated herself.
Right, she did isolate herself.
You're only soaking in the repercussions of what you caused.
And the memorial was not about you. It was about Teresa and her mom.
Thank you. It wasn't even about the other girls.
It wasn't. It wasn't about
Margaret
it.
Just offered the wreath, and then the man took it her out, nice and they little did thing it with do. Just them two.
It was a nice little thing to do. She's probably just mad because she didn't think of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they have a nice little chat, you know, and the highlight of this for me was, you know, Teresa asked her, you know, about the whole apology thing. And she sort of said, you know, well, they went back to the whole soggy flicker thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Teresa asked her, she was like, you know, so, but I've been called like adultery. and she said, you know, that's worse. And Siggy's like, well, no, hurt is hurt. Did you agree with that?
No.
I didn't agree with that at all. No, I
think oversensitivity is oversensitivity. But I don't think hurt is hurt. Sure, everyone has different levels of being offended.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to face reality on what's really offensive and what's petty.
Yeah.
And dealing with something called... Really? Like, I mean, I think at one point, almost every single person in this whole entire world has had a bully at some age, whether it was in elementary school, junior high school, even in freaking college or, like, or at work in the workplace. Everyone has had a bully at one point in their life. And you... And I don't want to be insensitive to anyone, but you become an adult, you know. Kids are a reflection of what they see in their home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that this kid blatantly wanted to single you out because they're just an evil person, but that's what they're being taught at home.
Right.
So it reflected on you, unfortunately. So you have to learn, especially as a psychiatrist, you have to learn how to acknowledge these things as you're getting older. Like, you know what? Children do as they see and as they're taught. So, but going into the adult world, when you're saying that someone is an adulterer or cheating on their husband, that's a whole different allegation, which you're living with now in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure Siggy has bigger battles to fight than to deal with an issue from when she was in grade school.
A part of me kind of wonders if she uses that, these trigger words as her excuse for why she overreacts to things.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, she'll overreact to something and then she'll go back and say that that was my trigger. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, I don't know. It just seems like an excuse to me,
mm-hmm.
to a certain degree, because like you said, the name Soggy Flicker, I mean, it really wasn't that bad. You know, you were more, she's probably more mad that Margaret took their side than, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've been called worse words, like, growing up myself.
I mean, she called you soggy because you were crying all the time. I mean, the reference worked. Like,
it really did.
It worked. It really Sorry.
Did. I'm sorry about
it,
that.
It worked. I mean, she was spot on with that. I mean, and it's not like that name, I was about to say, it's not like that name took off, but it kind of did. Never mind.
I mean, soggy, prostitution, whore, they're kind of like...
right?
You know,
are they?
If it made you same? And it gave you a moment, you should take it. Take that moment.
Jeez.
You know, sometimes you have to take things with a lighter heart.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
You know, I know people that have certain words that they get certain, like, really offended by, and I'm like... But we're in a day and age where social media, Twitter, Instagram, everything is so prominent that your trigger words are going to be in your face regardless. So you have to learn how to work around those things and disregard them to a factor where it's not going to bug you to the fullest.
I don't know that I really have a trigger word. I just don't like to be disrespected. That's just my
perfect thing. Yes, that's probably the best way to explain that.
Like, that's just me.
Yeah.
We get to Melissa and Dolores. They're going to have gelato and they're talking about her boyfriend. I cannot remember his name, but he's a doctor. She never sees him. He doesn't call her.
You can call him Big Papa. Like
Big Papa.
Kim used to have. So she has a Big Papa.
She
like
has
Kim
a Big Papa because we never see him.
Mm-hmm.
But she loves spending time with Frank.
Thank you. I wrote that down, too. That's
like,
so
how
shady.
Many times did they edit her saying that? I was mm-hmm. like, y'all are so shady. But actually, I like them together. I wish they would get back together. I just feel like I could see a little wedding special for them.
But why was she so excited when she was explaining this? She's like, you know, I love dating. I love doing all my dates. This is trying to do my Jersey accent. She's like, doing all my dates and doing my thing. And then I come home to Frank and I have a companion with him. And I'm like, she just did not look, Mr. Biggs, where am I at? Big Papa, if you've seen that episode, I think you need to have a conversation with Dolores.
Well, actually, maybe not. Maybe this is what works. I think it's a three-way relationship, and I think that they're all fine with it.
Like swingers?
You know, swingers sound so, you know, dirty.
Sharers?
How about threesome? That's what it sounds like.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like it sounds like a threesome. I like it. Go, Dolores.
You know, I was here for it at the beginning of the season, but as she keeps continuing talk, like, when you reference someone as a companion, like, I come home to my companion, like, no. You come home to Mr. Nasty Time is what you come home to.
And so you see, she gets some quality intellectual time with the doctor, and then she gets some physical time, allegedly, with Frank.
Well, maybe
it sounds good to me.
Maybe she should be friends with Danielle, because Danielle can enlighten her on a whole lot of things.
Exactly. No need for phone sex.
Oh my gosh. I just want to know if these, like, if there's anything that's allegedly going on, what does her kid think of it?
You know, since those are his parents, I'm sure he's fine with it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
he got a girlfriend, so, you know. Cheers to him. And
which they're not even appreciative of. They're like, get rid of her. That's a nightmare.
Dump her now.
That's messed up.
That poor girl.
Little girl, you went for...
That poor girl.
You had terrible in-laws if you end up marrying this man. And I would not invite them to the wedding. I'm like, remember how you told him to break up with me? You weren't invited to our wedding.
Nope. You know, they get to talking about Siggy, and Dolores explains to Melissa that Siggy probably just wasn't ready for the apology and, you know, maybe acknowledged it mentally. I love that Melissa firmly had Margaret's back, you know, but Dolores actually did kind of finally admit that, you know, maybe this whole thing went too far and it's just time for it to let it go. And she does not think that Margaret is anti-Semitic, which I thought was good to say. Really, really good to say.
Yeah, sometimes, you know what, sometimes when people act out or express or have actions that, because your friends are a reflection of who you are.
Right.
Sometimes you have to distance yourself for that moment and be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, because, you know.
That's what this is, that's not what I am.
For much of the season, she's had Siggy's back with every little thing that Siggy has done.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to always have my friends back, but at a certain point, like, you got to say, yo, can you chill? Mm-hmm. Like, give me a break. Please.
Yep.
Sit down somewhere. All right, so finally, we get to dinner. But before that, you know, Melissa gifts Margaret a nice little trinket with some locks and stuff on the bracelet. I thought this was really nice. Nothing else to say about that, really.
But why did Marge have the girls out the whole entire trip?
Well, I you know, I wrote that down because I felt like in this scene they were practically going to fall out and jump somebody. But, you know, I chose not to go there.
She had to have a defense behind her when she came up to meet up again.
Yo, like, it was crazy. They're having dinner in a private room this time. Teresa realized that they probably needed some privacy to keep the madness contained. Smart move, Teresa. Smart move. And then there's a debate between limoncello and wine. I personally would have gone with the limoncello. You know, Siggy finally addresses Margaret as they're about to toast. She does thank her for the apology. And she cries a little bit. And then Marge asks her a very poignant question. Do you think that I'm anti-Semitic? What could have been a great moment turned left for Siggy to me when she said, I'd like to think that you're not.
Yeah.
But all of these things leading up to that moment made me think that you were. I am sorry if you felt hurt by anything that I said.
Yep.
I committed this to memory. Because when you apologize, you really are apologizing for what you said or did.
Yep.
She did not do that.
She did that.
What I loved, absolutely, was this to me. Like, I love a good catfight. I do. I love some drinks being tossed. But what I really like is polite shade and schooling. And I felt like Margaret politely schooled her down. Like,
and the quotes come in.
Like, she... I don't think, particularly with a subject that sensitive, I think the way that she handled herself, she had poise with what she said. Every point she said made sense, and every point was like a smack in Siggy's face. Like, yep. I can't even remember everything that she said because I was so busy memorizing what Siggy said. But it was just an epic moment where she basically schooled Siggy on, you know, you can't say that type of thing because it's damaging, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she also took her to task for holding other people accountable for what they do, but not holding herself accountable for what she does.
Yep.
I was just like, I sat kind of stunned because I was so happy that Margaret had her moment to actually address everything.
I want to call it a Nicki Minaj moment, because Nicki Minaj, well, Nicki Minaj does pop off, but mm-hmm. when she is composed and she makes her point and she slaps someone in the face, but without getting crazy, she sits back, she readjusts herself, and she's like, I got this under control. And that's exactly what Margaret did. She said, if you give yourself a pass, you should give other people a pass. And then she took a bite of whatever she was eating.
Right. I loved it. I was absolutely loved this moment. All. Probably one of my favorite moments of the season, because Siggy really had nothing to say. Mm-hmm. There was nothing she could say. Like, it was like, you have no defense for anything that she's saying, because she's absolutely correct. And I was so excited that Dolores, probably just tired from all the fighting and defending Siggy, either that or she was extremely hungry, had nothing to say about this. I thought, surely she's going to jump in. But, you know, no, even she sat in silence. So I was happy about that.
I think that was one of those eyebrow raises where, like, you just look down at each pasta, like...
Exactly, because, I mean, it's one thing, you know, to attack somebody and you're loud and you're yelling and you're kind of, like, manipulating the situation that way. But when you can actually tell someone frankly how you feel about them in a very calm manner and school them at the same time, I think that's epic.
Well, Siggy, out of anyone, should know that the loudest one isn't the one getting their point across. It's the one not listening who wants to be heard. So
you are filled with a lot of wisdom today.
Thank you. I put on my wisdom hat.
Quotes with Russell. How about that?
Quotes with Russell Ray?
So after schooling the hell out of Siggy, she invites everybody over to her party for her birthday. She's having a Studio 54 style birthday party, which we'll get to see next week, apparently. So I'm excited about that. Listen, do we have any predictions for the following weeks? How many? I'm not even sure how many more weeks we have in the season.
We have a few, because remember the reunion is like 3 episodes long. So that's three more weeks in addition to whatever else. I believe we have about 5 weeks left.
5 weeks? Okay. So. I'm here for that.
My prediction is the house is going to be somewhat complete before her party.
Lord, please let this house be finished.
I feel like the house will be somewhat complete. I feel like the ovens are going to be working. And I feel like the party is going to go fine, because I don't think Margaret would embarrass herself in front of her own people.
Right.
Unless they're in a separate room. But I feel like Margaret is an entertainer, and she has to keep things going, so she has no time for pettiness. I feel like Siggy might bring something up to maybe Margaret's friends. Like, oh, well, you know, like, she referenced Hitler, blah, 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 and prolong the thing. Here's the thing. Siggy needs to take things, handle it, and move on. Instead of take things, somewhat take care of it, but kind of leave a door open and prolong it. That's what she does.
You know, on a Housewives show, it's never a good idea to let things linger for too long, because we, the viewers, are over it mm-hmm. after a few episodes. Mm-hmm. So you yourself need to get over it as well, lady. So with that being said, that's going to conclude our episode for tonight. I think that this was a nice little tie-up episode, so I have no idea where we're going to go after this, besides getting that apology from Teresa to Danielle's daughters, which I'm kind of excited to see, because I didn't realize that based on the preview that the daughter was still like up in arms about these comments, this prostitution whore, table flip, and all that good stuff. So it'll be nice to sort of see some resolve with that. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they get a resolve. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But that's it for us. Make sure you guys continue to watch, like, subscribe to AfterBuzz TV. All of the shows that we're on. Are you on any other show?
Yes. Actually, I have an interview tomorrow with Chloe Kohansky from The Winner of The Voice.
Very nice.
And we'll be asking her all kinds of questions at 4 p.m.
You guys make sure to tune into that.
And we're going to play a new game. It's called 50 Seconds of Shade.
Ooh.
In addition to 80s Ladies. So if you guys want to hear us what it's about, tune in tomorrow.
You guys make sure to tune into that. You guys can also catch me on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Great season so far. Episode 1 was last night. It's amazing. As well as Married to Medicine. I'm one of your hosts at DJ Richie Sky. Follow me at DJ Richie Sky on Instagram and Twitter, and on Stripped on Bravo on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m.
I also just want to chime in that you'll find all the Real Housewives shows on AfterBuzz. Buzz TV reality TV.
Ah,
and
good point.
The voice interview will be on a reality competition.
Thank you to our lovely engineer.
Yes, filling in for DJ Jess today, but doing just as extravagant. And I'm your other host, Russell Ray. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Russell Ray Silva.
And that's it for another episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey on AfterBuzz TV. See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.